Feustings v. Zimmer. Mr. Holmes?
May it please the court and counsel, it is my privilege to represent Art Feusting in this appeal. Discovery is not a game of hide and conceal. Zimmer hid the ball, and so information was unavailable to Mr. Feusting at the jury trial. We now know why Zimmer hid the ball. Zimmer manufactured its IB knee using an untested sterilization process known as gamma irradiation in air and allowed these IB knees to be implanted in humans. Research scientists such as Dr. Robert Rose of MIT published the results of research and testing of this radiation process since at least the late 1970s. And found that gamma irradiation in air causes oxidative degradation in this polyethylene that it was being used in these knees.
Did Dr. Rose ever discuss how the oxidation caused the implant to fail?
I'm sorry?
Did Dr. Rose ever discuss how the oxidation caused the knee implant to fail?
Absolutely. The affidavit, it's a 16 or 18-page single-space affidavit attached to the response to the motion for summary judgment, discusses in exquisite detail how the oxygen degradation caused this knee implant in Art Feusting's knee to fail. It failed because the oxidation causes a delamination, an increased wear, and ultimately delamination, a separation of the polyethylene. Those pieces and fragments then went into Mr. Feusting's knee, causing osteolysis. And that is what caused, ultimately, Dr. McKechnie to need to remove that knee, and in fact had to remove the replacement one because he was still suffering from the effects of that polyethylene that had gotten into his knee from that failed knee implant. When Zimmer belatedly got around to testing the polyethylene, Michael Hawkins of the defendant did the testing, he confirmed what Dr. Rose and others had been saying for more than a decade. Oxidation of polyethylene has the most significant measurable effect on wear. And the defendant had Dr. Rose's data and published research articles. And I quote from Zimmer's internal documents, "The results of the work of Rose and experiments performed by the author," that's Hawkins writing this, "indicate that oxidation plays a major role in the wear performance of polyethylene." He went on to say, "When all variables are controlled," so we've got a controlled experiment, "all variables are controlled and oxidation is varied, wear increases with increased oxidation." He noted that Dr. Rose found that there was a greater than 40% increase in the average wear rate of polyethylene that had been gamma irradiated in air. Hawkins' testing showed that the average wear rate when the polyethylene was irradiated in the absence of air, in other words, in nitrogen, decreased by 30%. That is an enormous, those are enormous changes and differences in the wear pattern. The defendant's testing showed also that approximately 90% of the oxidation that occurs over the lifetime of the polyethylene used in the knee is due to free radicals that are generated during the irradiation process. I submit that we would not be here today if the defendant had disclosed in a timely fashion what it was required to under Rule 26 and the discovery request to produce. When Zimmer appealed the jury verdict for the plaintiff, Zimmer claimed there was an absence in the record of any data or articles to support Dr. Pugh's opinions. But what did Zimmer conceal from the plaintiff, the lower court, and in fact from this court? They concealed that Dr. Rose's research on the effect of gamma irradiation in air, that they had that in their possession, and they knew what the results showed of the deleterious effects of using that radiation method.
And in Dr. Rose's report, did he point to any reliable studies that supported his conclusion?
Not only did he cite to other studies by other scientists, he also pointed to his own studies. Remember, he is, and I would point out that Dr. Rose is probably, if not the preeminent, one of the preeminent researchers in this field. When I was going to college in 1975, Dr. Rose was doing his science at MIT, and he was publishing these results. He was the one who was testing the effects of this polyethylene when the industry wasn't doing anything. He was the one who published it and found out that it was the gamma irradiation that was causing this polyethylene to break down. It was his research, multiple articles that he published, which I submit eventually, very belatedly, but eventually led the industry, Zimmer and other manufacturers, to abandon this defective sterilization method. And so they abandoned it, and now Zimmer, for instance, uses gamma irradiation in an inert environment, which is nitrogen. Other manufacturers use ethylene oxide, which does not create any free radicals and absolutely prevents any oxidation from occurring. Any oxidation from occurring. The defendant's own research showed that irradiation in nitrogen reduced oxidation to virtually zero. They also showed the feasibility of the alternative sterilization method, which Zimmer was saying we couldn't prove, and Dr. Pugh's opinions and conclusions weren't reliable. They had it in their own records. They had already tested it. They already knew that that was a feasible alternative sterilization method. Zimmer consciously advocated a position to the lower court, to this court, with an enormous expenditure of time and expense by the plaintiff, by counsel of the lower court, by this court, by the empanelment of a jury. The defendant claimed there was no scientific research of evidence of deleterious effects of gamma radiation in air. They claimed there was no feasible alternative to what the sterilization method that it was using. They claimed, in fact, that their direct compression molded Hymont polyethylene was a superior type of polyethylene. But yet their tests showed that the polyethylene they were using was just as prone to premature wear because of the gamma irradiation in air. And that was consistent with the studies by independent research scientists, which are cited in Dr. Rose's affidavit, which those articles are contained in our response to the motion for summary judgment. Those tests by independent scientists showed that the samples of this Hymont polyethylene had a large concentration of dissolved oxygen within it. In other words, by the manufacturing process, it caused and allowed oxygen to be dissolved within the polyethylene. And the researchers concluded that this reacted most efficiently with the free radicals, even at the lowest dose of radiation. In other words, even if you reduce the radiation dosage in your sterilization to the very lowest dose, this Hymont polyethylene still resulted in large amounts of oxidation. We submit that the district court erred in denying our motion for sanctions due to this discovery violation. The district court evidently gave it only passing consideration and, in fact, rendered an unwarranted conclusion that it doubted that the plaintiff would have put it into the record had it been provided by Zimmer prior to the first trial. I submit to this court that that information would have, without doubt, have been presented to the jury. It is very probative. It is persuasive. And the failure to have produced it has definitely prejudiced Mr. Feasting. Years have gone by since that trial. Mr. Feasting is advanced age. He's infirm. His wife, who was a critical witness in terms of his damages at the first trial, she has Alzheimer's now. How can there not be prejudice by this failure to produce this clearly probative evidence? The district court also erred in barring Dr. Rose's opinions under Rule 702 and under Daubert. If Dr. Rose, who spent the major part of his career at MIT doing research and publishing the results of the research on this very issue, the deleterious effects of irradiating polyethylene, and what are the alternatives that can be done besides irradiating it in air. He not only came up with the conclusions that said this is a deleterious process, but he also came up with the alternatives and said, if you do it in nitrogen or argon, you will not have the oxidation levels that are seen in doing it in air. And in fact, even a better solution is to do it with ethylene oxide, which has been a method that's been around for a half a century. So we submit that the court erred on both counts, and this court should reverse. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Holmes. Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Steve Jackson, and I have the honor of representing Zimmer. With all due respect to my learned opponent, he's confused Dr. Rose's theory with Dr. Rose's research. As the district court points out, the theory which Dr. Rose proposes in this case on remand has nothing to do with the research he did in the 70s and 80s. His theory in this case is that gamma-irradiated polyethylene oxidizes in vivo in the human body. And that theory has three components to it. Number one, he asserts that it oxidizes in vivo. But when I ask him in his deposition, all right, at what rate? He doesn't know. I ask him, what are the factors that are involved? Does the amount of radiation affect in vivo oxidation? He doesn't know. I ask, did the kind of polyethylene, the resin used by Zimmer, matter? He doesn't know. I ask, did the manufacturing process matter? He doesn't know. Those admissions are all contained at pages 269 and 299 through 300 of the supplemental appendix. But he has a second part of his theory. The second part is that other forms of sterilization oxidize less in vivo. And it's, how do you know that? What is the rate of ethylene oxide oxidation in vivo? He doesn't know. What's the rate of any other sort of sterilization in vivo? He doesn't know. All of the questions which you ask in Feasting 1 and required to be answered remain unanswered in this case. And then there is a third component to his opinion. Even though he doesn't know the first rate of oxidation for gamma in air, and he doesn't know the rate of oxidation in vivo for any other form, he asserts completely without science that the second rate is lower than the first, and it is clinically lower such that there would be no injury in Mr. Feasting's knee. That assertion is completely outside the bounds of any peer-reviewed study, any test, or anything else known to science right now. As Dr. Rose candidly admitted, we are only now in 2008 beginning to understand the process of in vivo oxidation. And it is certainly a bit much to say that in 1991, when the implant that we're here to talk about today was manufactured, that Zimmer should have known now what Dr. Rose does not know in 2008, that Zimmer should have known it in 1991. The second thing that this court said, though, in Feasting 1 is that Daubert is precisely apt when there is a complete, and in this case, utter disconnect between the expert opinion and what happens in the real world. Dr. Rose says all IB knees, every one of them ever made, are defective. And yet this court had before it and referenced it at page 537 of the Feasting 1 opinion, four peer-reviewed studies encompassing an eight-year period, 668 knees examined, and no oxidative degradation at all. The one thing that this court knew in Feasting 1 and it knows now is in the real world, the IB knee does not delaminate because of oxygen. Dr. McKechnie, from the clinician's point of view, the plaintiff's expert, said, I implanted between 500 and 600 of these knees and have never had a problem with these knees until the one in Mr. Feasting's right knee. And of note, as this court will remember, in Mr. Feasting's left knee, is an IV knee that performed flawlessly for 23 years. I submit to you that if in vivo oxidation was really the problem in Mr. Feasting, the IV knee on his left side would have crumbled decades ago, but it did not. So what we have is this court said that there are four signposts or guideposts to opinions which really emerge from the scientific method. Was the theory tested? No. The theory of in vivo oxidation has never been tested, not by Dr. Rose and not by anyone else. Has it been subject to peer review? Dr. Rose admitted at page 269 of the supplemental appendix his opinion's never been subject to peer review. Is there a known error rate? Dr. Rose admitted at page 269 of the supplemental appendix there is no known error rate. And finally, it's not generally accepted in the scientific community. Dr. Spiegelberg says that at pages 62 and 63 of the supplemental appendix. But this court issued two more challenges to Mr. Feasting's expert. First, it said on defect, please tell us how the IV knee could be defective when, in fact, gamma in air was the universal practice in 1991. Well, Dr. Rose in his deposition agreed gamma in air was the universal practice in 1991. He knows of no other company that sterilized knee implants in any way other than gamma in air in 1991. And secondly, the court said at page 537 of your first Feasting opinion, do not come back to the district court and look only at delamination. You must consider other factors such as the effectiveness of sterilization and whether or not ethylene oxide actually increases wear. Well, that's exactly what Dr. Rose did, as he came back and started with the fact that gamma in air produces oxidation and said, that's all I need to do. I win, when this court repeatedly said, that's not enough. That's the starting line, not the finish line. The final thing is this court issued a challenge on the issue of causation. Dr. Clark, in the supplemental appendix at pages 132 and 133, said, there are three things that you need to know about causation, because remember, there is an IV knee in Mr. Feasting's left side that performed flawlessly for 23 years. There's an IV knee in his right side that was revised after 9. Dr. Clark said, no, there are three things going on in his right knee that are not going on in his left. Number one, the right knee is out of alignment. And Dr. Clark, who is not only an orthopedic surgeon but a professor of biomedical engineering, said that out of alignment, that varus alignment, is what caused the increased wear on the medial aspect of Mr. Feasting's knee. Secondly, Dr. Clark said the right knee hyperextends, the left knee doesn't. That caused the increased wear on the tibial post. Finally, Dr. Clark said the right knee has an osteophyte, a bone spur, that's slowly chopping off pieces of polyethylene. That's the polyethylene that Dr. McKechnie saw when he revised the knee. All three of those conditions are present in the right knee. They are not present in the left knee. Dr. Rose must rule those out as causation. In the supplemental appendix at pages 309 and 310, Dr. Rose admits he can't rule them out. He says they are all causative factors. At the end, I submit to you, we have the classic ipsedixit. This knee is defective precisely because Dr. Rose says it is defective, and for no reason that can be found in science. His pronouncement that the knee is defective is entirely contrary to the well-documented clinical excellence, which this court noted in its original Feasting opinion. Frankly, other than that, I have nothing to say. I'll stand on our brief on this whole issue of sanctions. I think it is an absurd issue because even in oral argument before the court, it wasn't revealed to you that the district court denied early on Feasting's motion for sanctions because it was untimely. Zimmer had no obligation to produce information. Feasting did not engage the court, and that's simply not revealed to you at all in the briefing before you. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Mr. Holmes? If we were here after a jury verdict, then what Mr. Jackson says may hold some weight. But we're talking about a question of summary judgment. Is there a triable issue of fact for this jury? Absolutely, without a doubt, there is. The defendant's own expert, Steven Spiegelberg, conceded that oxidation was one of the causes of the delamination of the tibial component when that was taken out of Art Feasting. We do not have to prove, under Illinois law, that the oxidation was the only cause of the failure of this IB knee. All we have to prove is that it was one of the causes. There could be other factors involved. I'm on the IPI committee, jury instruction committee for the Illinois Supreme Court. 15.01 says it need not be the only cause or the nearest or last cause. It is sufficient if it is one of the causes acting at the same time as any other cause that may have contributed to the injury. The defendant's expert also admitted that the gamma irradiation in air is a defective sterilization process. And under products liability law, it is immaterial that whether a defendant knows or didn't know that its process that was being used was defective. The issue is, was it defective? Dr. Rose says it was defective. And if it wasn't defective, then the question that begs the question, why is Zimmer not doing it today? Why has a whole industry changed the sterilization method? Absolutely, because it was defective. You have manufacturers that went to ethylene oxide because they eliminate this whole issue of oxidation. They eliminate any possibility of this premature breakdown of these artificial knees. This case begs relief from this court. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Holmes. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.